Carlos tried to shake me awake, but I slapped him away. Moments later, his hand was replaced by another, sterner grip. I could feel these fingers were steel-wrapped rather than gloved. I awoke with a snort and a gasp of breath. Veteran Harris glared at me sternly.
"Up and moving," he roared, walking away down the line. "Every third man goes on break downstairs. Get a meal and a cot, but don't get too comfy. You're relieved for 2 hours, no more, and it's back to the wall. You can sleep all you want when you're dead."
"Lying bastard," mumbled a recruit nearby.
I realized in surprise it was Kiwi. Her voice was rough, and she coughed.
"I've died twice today, and I've never gotten more than 10 minutes' rest."
I wondered about that. Did a person come back feeling refreshed? Was it like sleep? I could hardly recall my own revival. It had been unpleasant, I knew that. The experience was like a dream to me now. I knew I'd remembered everything clearly when I first awakened, but now I'd lost the thread of it.
"You go,"
Carlos said, looking at me.
"What?"
"You take the first break. Take my spot."
I finally figured out what he was talking about. Do I look that bad?
"Your face is wet with drool."
I chuckled and heaved myself onto my feet. The truth was, I did feel pretty bad. I could use some food and rest. "Thanks, man," I said. "You're nowhere near as bad as everyone says."
"Oh yeah, I am."
I thanked him again and headed down the steps. I thought to myself that Carlos had changed since I'd first met him. I guess that getting killed and eaten by dinos could change anyone. When I reached the mess hall, I ate with gusto, and when my head touched my pillow, I passed out instantly. It seemed to be only 10 seconds later when my cot was roughly kicked over. I went sprawling on the floor. I looked up to see Veteran Harris glaring down at me. For some reason, I wasn't surprised.
"Get back out there, or I'll feed you to the lizards myself."
I jumped up, gathering my kit, and headed back to the wall. Carlos was still there. He'd been placed on construction duty, patching up the wall with a slurry of blue puffcrete repair formula. His gloves were thick with it. "Your turn for a break," I said.
"So soon?"
he asked sarcastically.
"I thought you'd taken a 2-week vacation on the beach."
"I billed your account." He flipped me off and staggered away toward the tents. I took over his position, and I had to admit, I felt a lot better. The battlefield had been cleaned up by now, and it stank less, too. There was still a steamy haze hanging over the entire fortification, and the light of the binary stars overhead was brutal. In the evenings, we could take off our helmets to breathe, but in the heat of the day, that was unthinkable. We had to have the air conditioning our suits provided to protect us. About an hour later, I looked up to see a primus named Turov examining me. She wasn't very tall, but she had sharp features and a stocky build. She didn't look more than 30 years old, but I knew she might be older. Dying in combat returned a person's body to their last stored point, essentially making you younger than you had been. The system stored the mind often, but not the body. There was no point in making a dead legionnaire come back older than necessary. Some recruits, I knew, considered dying a perk. They talked as if they'd found a fountain of youth. But I thought repeatedly experiencing death was a grim price to pay just to stay young. I straightened and threw a salute at the Primus, even though I wasn't sure I was really supposed to. She gave me a lazy return salute and narrowed her eyes. Then I noticed Veteran Harris was standing at her side, his arms crossed.
"Come with me, recruit,"
Turov said at last. I followed, not daring to ask what was wrong. When a Primus gave an order in Legion Varus, recruits were expected to follow it without question. I glanced inquiringly to Veteran Harris, but he avoided my eye. A few hundred steps led us to a bunker in the ground. I stared at it for a second, then realized it was the bunker that housed the officers' quarters. I stood at attention, having no idea what this was about.
"Now,"
the Primus said,
"do you know who I am, Miguel?"
"A Primus?" I asked, bewildered.
"That's right. Do you know
Which Primus?
I strained to read her name tag just to double check. Primus Turov? She rolled her eyes at me.
At least we know you can read. I'm your Primus, recruit.
I nodded. Sorry, I've never met anyone higher in rank than Centurion Graves.
Yes, I hear you made quite an impression on him, too, she said.
I saw a thin smile on her lips as if she was enjoying a private joke.
Now, before I send you into the Tribune Drusus's office...
Excuse me, Primus, I dared to interrupt. The moment after I did so, I froze. She looked at me in displeasure, but she waited for me to speak.
What is this about?
I asked.
It's about making false reports. At least, that's what I hope you did.
I blinked in confusion and looked at Harris for some help. He sighed in disgust.
He just experienced his first death today, he said, as if that explained everything.
So what? Snapped the Primus. A lot of people die in Legion Varus. This mission is nothing special. Over 500 died today alone. We're down to half our protoplasm supplies. And I've had to order more down from the ship.
500, I thought. I couldn't get that number out of my head.
I just meant that he might not be 100%, cognitively speaking, Harris explained.
The Primus stepped closer to me, peering up into my face.
A tall boy, aren't you?
Well, do you think you're suffering from delusions, McGill?
No, sir. Good. Go into this bunker, stand at attention in front of the desk, and wait. The Tribune should come around shortly. Whatever you do, don't embarrass me.
I wouldn't think of it. I saw Veteran Harris make a face behind her back. I could tell he believed I was quite capable of embarrassing any officer.
Well, she snapped. You're dismissed. Carry on, men.
I stepped forward and entered the gloom of the bunker. After the glaring day outside, the dimly lit interior was blindingly dark. I walked down the puffcrete steps as evenly as I could, and when I reached the bottom, I stood still until my eyes adjusted. I was in an underground office. The chamber was quite nicely appointed. I turned my head slowly, trying to take it all in. On the far wall opposite from where I'd entered, a series of heads were hung. These were alien in the extreme. None of them represented a species I was familiar with. There was a centipede-looking thing with pincers as long as a man's arm. Next to that, a wizened, multi-eyed monkey stared at me. Third and last of the trophies on display appeared at first to be a bear of some kind, but then I caught sight of the 6-inch curved fangs coming down from the upper jaw. The desk itself was yellow metal and shiny. It appeared to be meticulously polished. There were eagles of the same metal at each of the 4 post-like corners of the desk. Embedded in the heart of the elaborate-looking piece of furniture was a screen that was smudged with fingerprints.
"Recruit James McGill," said a voice. I stiffened, stared directly ahead, and stood at attention.
"At ease, McGill. I'm Tribune Drusus." I assumed a more relaxed posture, but it was all a ruse. I'd rarely been addressed directly by a Primus or a Centurion. To suddenly have the commander of all Legion Varus interested in me was unnerving.
"I see you've noticed my trophies," he said.
"Yes, sir."
"Did you see the flags hanging over the entrance? I'm particularly proud of those."
"No, sir."
"Well, turn around and look at them, man."
I turned and stared. There were flags draped over the entrance, just as he'd said.
"See this one, with the Roman patrician's head? That's an image of Publius Cunctilius Varus. Do you know who he was?"
I shook my head.
"No, I suppose not. They don't teach much Legion history in Varus. It's a shame, really.
He was the commander of 3 Roman legions, and it is in his dubious honor our legion was named.